This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, sitting in for Terry Gross. Choose your term: looting, finding, or foraging, evacuees, refugees, or the displaced. Over recent days, journalists have scrambled to find the right words to describe the disaster caused by Hurricane Katrina. As our linguist Jeff Nunberg observes, it's as if the language, too, was unprepared.
The levees around New Orleans and the government relief efforts weren't the only things that broke down in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. The language seemed to be giving in, too. Looting, evacuee, act of God. All of a sudden, the familiar words for events like these seemed inadequate to contain the inrush of reality. Take looting, which originally comes from a Hindi word the British brought back with them from India. Time was, it chiefly referred to the pillaging done by troops or bandits. But nowadays, it conjures up mobs of people carting off TV sets as the social order collapses around them. In the past, nobody fretted that looting might be too simplistic to describe what was going on in the Watts and Newark riots or after the fall of Baghdad. But last week, the word suddenly became problematic. Making off with flat-screen TVs was one thing, but was looting the right word for taking diapers and bottled water from a convenience store? Some people hewed to an uncompromising moral absolutism. When the White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan was asked about people taking necessities in his press briefing last week, he defended the president's zero-tolerance policy on looting. Food and water were being sent to the afflicted areas, he said. Looting was not the way to obtain them. But in the light of the news reports, even the administration's partisans were willing to embrace situational ethics. Of course, the looters should be shot, said the Wall Street Journal's Peggy Noonan. But by looters, she meant the people who were taking what they wanted, and not simply what they needed. That was pretty much where most people were drawing the moral line, as they waded into unforeseen semantic subtleties. You were within your rights to walk out of a supermarket with a loaf of Wonder Bread and a jar of Skippy, but woe betide you if your bag turned out to contain Carr's water crackers and a tin of foie gras. Then, too, looting seemed to have racial implications, as if it still bore the traces of its origin in the British Raj. A number of bloggers pointed to two press agency photographs that were posted on Yahoo News. One showed a young black man carrying some food through chest-deep water with a caption that described him as looting. Another showed a fair-skinned couple in identical circumstances and described them as finding food at a local grocery store. Some people tried to offer reasons for that difference in language, but they couldn't allay the suspicion that the words were being used selectively. Some media tried to simplify the problem by using looting across the board. The New York Times ran a story about how the remaining inhabitants of the unflooded French Quarter were making a grim party of the crisis, appropriating food and water from local stores. "Don't call it looting, please," one resident was quoted as saying, but that's exactly what the Times did, probably to forestall the impression that they were giving white foragers a pass. Others decided to bail out on the L word entirely. The editor of a Wisconsin newspaper instructed his news desk to replace looting with taking in the captions of pictures. As he put it, "I can't know whether somebody taking battery-powered tools from a ruined hardware store is looting or trying to find something he can use to get grandma out of the attic." True, words like taking, finding, and making off had a makeshift feel. But in the circumstances, makeshift didn't seem out of place. After 1,000 years of social inequality and natural disasters, the English language still doesn't have a word for somebody who steals a loaf of bread to feed his family. A similar problem came up in describing those displaced by the floods. Evacuees brings to mind people who are moved out of town for a week until a chemical cloud blows away, not a long-term dislocation. And there was the opposite problem with diaspora, which the New York Times used in one headline. It makes it sound as if these people may never return. Technically speaking, internally displaced persons is the most accurate term, but nobody wants to sound like a federal bureaucrat right now. Those difficulties led a lot of broadcasters and journalists to describe the displaced people as refugees. As it happens, that's another borrowed word from the French name for the Huguenots who went to England when their religious freedom was withdrawn in 1685. There is some precedent for using refugee in situations like this one. Woody Guthrie used it for the victims of the Dust Bowl, when a combination of natural disaster and government inaction led to another massive displacement of poor people in America. But to most Americans, refugee brings to mind foreigners who were forced to seek asylum here because of war or persecution. A number of black leaders objected to those implications, and on Tuesday, President Bush agreed with them. "The people we're talking about are not refugees," he said. "They are Americans." Some people defended refugee as meaning simply somebody who seeks refuge. But that doesn't seem right. Ducking into a ski hut to wait out a blizzard doesn't make me a refugee. And at a time like this, it's hard to defend a term that some victims of the disaster are likely to be offended by. But like the question of what to use in place of looting, there's no easy answer here. And maybe that's as it should be. If you weren't struggling to find the right language to describe what you were seeing last week, you probably weren't paying close enough attention.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and author of Going Nuclear: Language, Politics, and Culture in Confrontational Times.